Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to episode 55, Never Fight a Streak. And as we're putting this on air, January 3rd, 2019, we hope you had the happiest of New Year's. And our digital audience must have partied hardy because they look a little beat up, but they're all here today. Hey, welcome back, everyone. So we'll be turning to our topic today, never fight a streak. And we're talking about in gambling, of course. But first, let's wake up our audience with what we call the bugler. And here he is.
Please have your attention. The store will be closing in five minutes.
Hey, that got their attention. So they're wide awake. All right, now we can get started. Well, you may or may not be a gambler, but you probably have heard of a winning streak, or for that matter, a losing streak. And as the title of our episode sort of suggests, never fight a streak is, in our sense, never betting against a streak. Now, let's just start with the black and red of roulette. Oh, my. So you have $5 on the red and it hits. You have $5 on the red and it hits again. You have $5 on the red and it hits again. And so you're thinking, well, hey, black is due. So I'm going to move to the black. And that's, of course, called the gambler's fallacy, because neither the red nor the black is due. They both have an equal chance, assuming that the wheel doesn't have a bias in it, of coming up. So that's the problem. Emotionally, you think something's due, but over the course of just 3, 5, 9, 10 spins, that's not enough. You know, in terms of infinity math, yeah, it would even out. But never fight a streak. And let's go to baccarat. We're betting banker, player. And the shoe so far, it's been a player shoe. It's player. It's player again. It's player again. It's player again. Now banker has to be due, so I'm going to bet the banker. Well, we're saying no. Never fight a streak. Stay with the player as long as the player is hot, because really, it doesn't make any difference how many times player has come up. It doesn't mean that it has less of a chance the next time in such a short period. If you want to sit at the baccarat table for a couple months, maybe. Or just spend a couple weeks at the roulette wheel. Your choice in one situation. And let's talk about the game of craps. So I'm going to put you on the don't pass line. And the shooter makes her point. You lose. Another point's established. She makes her point again. You lose. And you think, well, I'm going to double my bet because there's no way she's going to make 3 points in a row. But you're fighting a streak. And she wins again, and you lose. Well, Jimmy the Greek said, and he always played the don'ts, after 3 points were made by a shooter, he just stopped betting until that shooter was done, because he was afraid that that shooter was going to be on a winning streak. And just reverse it. You know, you've gone 3 shooters without a point, but you keep betting the pass line. You know, take a break. Forget the come out roll. Place a 6 and 8. Place your favorite number. Stop doing the same thing until this losing thing ends. You don't have to keep betting the same way and losing money. Never fight a streak. This little craps incident happened at the Blue Chip Casino. And then I was so shocked by it that I actually emailed Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That. And he got back to me. But I'm going to suggest, this is Coach Fav suggesting to you, Coach Fav, saying, jump on a streak, man. Jump on it. And what happened was, a lady throws an 11 on the come out roll. Hey, that's no big deal. I was on the pass line. I won. So she throws $5. We're at a $10 table with the Blue Chip in Michigan City, Indiana, a boy casino, a real beauty. She throws an 11 again. So there's two 11s in a row. And I said, hey, I'm throwing a $5 chip on that too. Boom. This is honest to God's truth. Another 11. I pressed mine 10. She pressed hers more. 4 times. 5 times. 6 times. 7 times. 8 times. I made a bundle because it's 15 to 1. Oh, my God. Several hundred dollars. But here's the shocking thing. The table was packed. I jumped on her streak after 2 11s, but nobody else did. Nobody jumped on after 4, after 6, after 7. No. They just stood there and watched. You know, the pass line players were collecting their minimum bet on the pass line, but nobody was pressing. Nobody was looking for more 11s. Just two people. Never fight a streak. And I've done that. I've fought streaks, and boy, my wife won't let me forget it. One time at the Win, just because I was stubborn, I was on the don't pass, and there was a hot shooter, and I did the same thing I told you not to do. I stayed on it, and I got buried, man. I got buried. Wow. You know, all I had to do was just switch over or stop betting. You know, switch to the pass line for a while. So that's why I always say, learn to play the don't pass, learn to play the pass. Because there might be a time when the table's so cold, if you want to stay at the table, that's really the only option. Or, you know, just stand there and look at the game. But why beat yourself up? Why go around the table 7, 8 shooters and no one's making a point? No one really has a long roll. You know, get off that pass line. Do something else. And I'm going to suggest go to the don'ts. You know, that's for me, I always say, that's one way to make the table hot. When I get to the don'ts, it'll probably switch back. Something to think about, no? Okay, never fight a streak. I want you to embrace that. And, you know, that people take credit for that. Those who have followed Jimmy the Greek, you know, one of my crap heroes, they said it came from him. But I can't collaborate that with anyone. Just one of the books I read said it came from him, Never Fight a Streak. But I think that makes sense, Never Fight a Streak. You know, sometimes there's not a streak involved, and like your decision is kind of based on how you play. You know, you're at the back of a table, and there's no streak. It's just kind of haphazard, you know, going back and forth. And you choose one you're comfortable with. Black's your favorite color when it comes to black and red. So you bet black. That's not a streak. So that doesn't always apply. But when it does, I think it makes sense for all of us either to stop playing, don't fight the streak, or jump on the streak. That's what I suggest. That's what I try to do. But don't fight it. Because the gambler's fallacy tells us, just because one thing is coming up all the time doesn't mean the next thing is due. That's an untruth. Okay, we'll be coming right back and talk about sports betting in Pittsburgh. Well, if you're not familiar with Pittsburgh, the casino near the stadiums, that's PNC Park and Heinz Field for the Pittsburgh Steelers, PNC Park is the Pittsburgh Pirates, is referred to as the Rivers. And you might be asking yourself, well, if it's along a river, why is it referred to as the Rivers? And that's because Pittsburgh, you think of the top of a triangle and put it on the ground. On one side runs the Monongahela, which is an Indian term, of course, a name. And then Allegheny on the other side, another Indian descriptive word. So the Mon and the Allegheny form the Ohio River right at the point in Pittsburgh. And right down from the point on the Ohio River is a casino called the Rivers, meaning the Three Rivers. And Pittsburgh is often referred to as the city of Three Rivers, and you know about that. No more with that. Well, 40 states, because of a Supreme Court ruling, legalized sports betting. Not all the sports have their casino sports books open. A couple do. And Pennsylvania finally does. And so for the first time, I went down and placed bets legally on sports teams, which is something new for me. So the Rivers Sportsbook is relatively small. The area, if you want to sit there, there's maybe 14 leather chairs, maybe 12 tables. We can put four at a table possibly and sit there. There's a bar right there. It's nice and comfy, but it's not very big in relation to the sports books that you see in Las Vegas. And the counter is a little different too. Instead of like picking a number, you know, like in Vegas, you might bet like bet 131 or 128. You actually tell the operator, the clerk at the counter. For example, I said I want to bet $100 taking Notre Dame in the spread. You actually tell them what the bet is, and then they punch it in. And then I also want to bet $100 Alabama minus 14, which, you know, truthfully, that was my hedge bet because I'm a Notre Dame grad, but I wasn't going to bet against them. So I thought, well, if I pick Alabama minus 14, that'll be my hedge, and I'll just break even. Well, I lost both bets. So that doesn't always work. So, hey. But anyway, sports betting is in Pittsburgh. There's also what they call kiosks. You can, if you don't want to go to the counter, there's maybe 10 kiosk machines right there. And because it's so relatively new to the River's credit, they have personnel there. You know, they have a line for, if you're betting more than 1,000, they have a line for ordinary bettors for at the windows, and then they have a kiosk line. So once you get that figured out, you're okay. But I'm sure sports betting is coming to your state because, again, 40 states, because of a Supreme Court ruling, have legalized sports betting. It's just that it's not all up and operational at this point. Okay, we're going to move on to part three of today's podcast. Let's talk a little craps. You know, when we went to the Rivers, after I placed those bets, of course, I was going to stop at the craps table. And the Rivers always has a $5 table open, but just one usually. And it was, as you know, as if you go to casinos like this, it was too crowded to play. You know, you'd have to stand and watch. So I just went to a $10 table. And actually, looked like there were, you know, some people with a number of chips. You know, I'm not saying the table was red hot, but it looked like it might be okay. So the guy where I stepped into was shooting, so I just stood sort of apart from him not to interfere with the shoot. And he made a point, and I was going to jump in, but I decided not to because the dealers paid everybody off quickly. And I thought, well, I'll just wait till there's another pause in the game. And, well, he established a point, and then he sevened out in two rolls, and so that was my chance to get in. So I got in, and I didn't even use my card because I had $60 with me, and I was just going to see if I could, you know, get to 100 and then get in the car and go home. You know, that's what I was thinking. And the reason I'm bringing this up in craps talk was the last episode I told you, the 6-4 set, that's 3-1 behind it. 4-6 in front of it, 5-5 on the outside, and 2-2 on the inside of the dice. So I got red hot down at Fremont Street after I kind of struck out of three casinos. I got red hot at the Downtown Grand and won over $1,400. So you know what? I thought, well, I was pretty much in the same place, almost in the middle, in the back, facing the opposite wall. So I thought, well, I'll try that 6-4 set again. Doggone it. Same thing happened. I won $216. And again, I was betting cautiously because I didn't have a bankroll with me and I didn't want to go to the ATM. So I just thought I'd have some fun, play a little craps. And that 6-4, I threw 1-7, and that was after my fourth point, you know. So again, it's not my set. I never played it until recently because I saw a YouTube video by the Bone Thrower. And, you know, honestly, I told you I don't subscribe to much of what he says, but that set that he showed, that's two times in a row. So maybe that's never fight a streak. Yeah, I'm going to stay with it until it hurts me. All right. So far, that 6-4 set, putting Vegas, Downtown Grand, and the Rivers Casino together, has come close to $1,700. So let's see how much we can build up that pot. All right. Well, the way my sports bets went in the semifinal college football playoffs, I need a pot to keep me going. All right, we'll be coming right back for the final portion of today's podcast.
And since so many parts of the country are new to sports betting, legal sports betting, we thought we'd just talk about the differences between betting the spread or betting against the spread as opposed to money line bets, the plus or the minus. Sounds complicated, relatively simple, and I think it's enjoyable. You can take your pick. You can win or lose money either way. But let's explain what we're talking about. We'll be right back. So Notre Dame is playing Clemson in the college football playoffs, and when I got to the windows, the spread was 11 if you bet Notre Dame. And what that means, that's a plus 11. Notre Dame could still lose the game, and as long as Clemson didn't beat them by more than 11, say they only won by 10 points, you would still win. And that's the big advantage of going with the spread. The team you're picking can lose, but you still win the bet. Does that make sense? So it was Notre Dame plus 11 when I made the bet, and I made that bet. And Notre Dame not only lost by more than 11, they literally got their ass kicked. And I lost that bet. Okay, well, if I would have made the money line bet, I still would have lost, because the money line bet, whether your team is the underdog or the favorite, you have to win. But let's talk about the differences. I think most people agree that the best way to understand the money line bet is to think of $100. So if you look at the team you want to bet on, let's just say it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're playing, who are they going to play? The New Orleans Saints. All right. So if there's a plus, it's Kansas City plus 115. That means that Kansas City is the underdog. And again, if we're using $100 to understand this bet, if we bet that, if we choose the plus 115 and we say we're betting the money line, Kansas City plus 115, that means we'll win $115 on a $100 bet. So we win more than we actually bet. That's nice. All right. But what if you wanted to bet the other team, the New Orleans Saints, and let's say in this example, they're minus 115. What would that mean? Well, the minus sign means that the New Orleans Saints are the favorites. And again, in either kind of a money line bet, whether it's plus or minus, the team you choose has to win. But to win a money line bet that's minus 115 with the New Orleans Saints, you have to bet $115 to win 100. So you have to bet more to win less. And that always reminds me when I do it of playing don't pass odds. You know, so in the don't pass odds, you have to put more odds down and you win less money depending on the number that the point, you know, the established point is. You win less money than you bet. That's just, and the reason for that is the don't pass line is the favorite. Once the point's established, there's a better chance mathematically for a 7 to come up, because there's more ways to make a 7 than there is to make any of the point numbers and craps. So you have the advantage. It's the same kind of thing with the money line. When the team you want to bet on is the favorite, it's going to have a minus number. It might be minus 105, minus 115, minus 130. That means you have to bet 105 or 115 or 130 to win 100. Okay, your team still has to win. Now remember, when it's a plus bet on the money line, you're going to get more money than 100. So again, so if Notre Dame was, I'll just make up a number because I don't recall what it was. If Notre Dame was plus 160, all right, you'd have to bet $100 on the money line bet, and Notre Dame, all they have to do is win, and you'll get 160. The disadvantage is when you're betting a spread bet, your team could still lose, and if your team beats the spread number, then you would win the bet. I hope that's not too confusing. So remember, I bet Notre Dame plus 11. So if they would have lost the game by 10 points, I would have won that bet. The opponent, Clemson, had to win by more than 11 for me to lose that bet. Well, I lost it because they won by a lot more than 11. I think the score was 30-3. So there you go. Now, the other example that we hadn't discussed with the spread is, what if your spread number's minus? And I did bet that. I bet Alabama minus 14 against Oklahoma. And I thought, well, that was a good bet. Well, I thought I was going to win that one easily because in the first quarter, Alabama jumped out to a 28-0 lead. So they had to win by more than 14 points, remember, because I chose Alabama minus 14. But Oklahoma staged a nice comeback, and they played pretty well after that first quarter shock. And the game ended up Alabama won 45-34. Okay, well, that's not more than 14 points. Close, but no cigar. So I lost that bet. So it would have been better for me to bet the money line on Alabama, and I would have had to bet more money to win 100. I don't remember what that number was, but that's the issue. And you know, there's no right or wrong. You make the decision. So you can bet, you know, with the spread or against the spread. You know, so Notre Dame's plus 11. So, you know, that means they have to be beaten by more than 11 for you to lose. And Alabama's minus 14. That means Alabama has to win their game by more than 14 points. On the money line, if there's a plus before that number, that means you're going to win more than $100. If there's a minus, you have to bet, if it's a minus 160, for example, you have to bet 160 to win 100. Now, remember, you don't have to actually bet 100. You could cut it in half and bet 50. I've actually bet 30 on the money line, which, you know, isn't too exciting. Here's an example. The Notre Dame-Southern Cal game, I made two bets. I bet that Notre Dame would win the game by more than 14 points. I also bet the money line, and the way it turned out, I had to bet $30 to win $5. It was pretty stupid, but I don't even know why I made the bet, but I did. You know, so I lost the $30 bet on the Irish winning by more than 14 because I only won by 7. And I won $5 of that bet back. Big deal, huh? So, but if you're a bigger bettor, you can go with 100, but you don't have to bet 100. That's my point. And to wrap this up, in the money line bets, if your team has a minus in front of it, it's the favorite. If your team has a plus in front of it, then you're the underdog. So I hope that makes sense. And, you know, I don't think you need much more knowledge than this to bet, you know, with the spread or against the spread, or to bet the money line in football. You know, a lot of times, you know, the teams are so close, you know, and the spread's 3 points. You know, when a spread's like that, when it's just like 3 points, 3.5, I bet the money line. Forget the spread, because the teams are just so close. That's the way I think about it. Okay? That's my advice. And, you know, I have to say this. At Casinos USA, we're really not telling you how you should bet. we're telling you how we bet. You'll probably win more money betting your way, so take it with a grain of salt, as they say. And to our faithful listeners, our seasons consist of 11 podcasts, and this is episode 55, so you've been through us with five different seasons. And we'll take a little bit of a break. We'll come back again on January 25th. Oops, make that January 24th. It's a Thursday. Oh, man, I can't do anything right. And as we try to remember, we're all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. We'll see you on January 24th. So long.
Hey, every day is Saturday.